Hello, welcome again to this teaching series on the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit. This video teaching is based on Gordon Fee's Paul, the Spirit and the People of God by Gordon Fee. And this is the second session. In the first session, we looked at how the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the promise that God would be his people. And what we found out is that the church is both corporately and individually the temple of the living God. That God's presence in some mysterious sense resides in us. Before we go on with our study now, let's pray together using the prayer by Archbishop Cranmer, which is really a prayer for us to dig deeper into Scripture, that it might change us. So, blessed Lord, who has caused all holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our session today, we're going to be the title is The Holy Who, and we're going to be looking at the Spirit as person. And the aim of this session is that we'd be able to unpack the following statement. As fulfillment of the renewed presence of God with his people, the Spirit was understood by Paul in personal terms. And what we see in Paul's writing is that the Holy Spirit is active. He does stuff. The Pauline letters are full of words of divine action. The Holy Spirit acts in time. He's not an unmoved mover, but is responsive and interacts with creation. The Holy Spirit is not water, fire, or cloud, or a feeling. I mean, water, fire, and cloud, they can be great metaphors. They can be used to teach about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't to be equated with that. The Holy Spirit has personhood, personality, and moves in the world, and especially in the lives of those who are believers and part of the covenant community. Let me just show you 14 examples of how the Apostle Paul describes the agency, the action of the Holy Spirit. First of all, we see that the Holy Spirit, he searches all things. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says this, for the Spirit searches everything. The Holy Spirit, secondly, knows the mind of God. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit also teaches the content of the gospel. We get that from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13, where Paul says that they are taught not from human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. In Romans 8 verse 11 and 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16, 2 Timothy 1 verse 14, we see that the Holy Spirit dwells among believers. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 11, it says this, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. It's that the Holy Spirit has a will and can empower. And the Holy Spirit gives life to those who believe. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. The Holy Spirit in Galatians 4 verse 6 is in our heart, and causes us to cry out. We'll look at this in more detail in a few moments. Number 8, the Holy Spirit leads us in the ways of God. Paul says this, you are led by the Spirit. It's almost like the Spirit is guiding and leading us. And the Spirit bears witness within our own spirits. The Holy Spirit also has desires that are in opposition to the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 17 says this, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. We'll be unpacking that more in up and coming videos, but the Holy Spirit has desires that are opposite that of wickedness or the way of the world. The Holy Spirit, number 11, helps us in our weakness. He's a helper who, number 12, intercedes on our behalf. In Ephesians 3 verse 16, we see that he strengthens believers. It says this, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That the Holy Spirit in our inner being, maybe the parts that other people don't see, we can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is also one, and is a person who can be grieved by sinfulness. That's why Paul urges the church at Ephesus, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So 14 aspects where we see that the Holy Spirit is a person of action and has agency. We also, now we're just going to look at three different ways that Paul talked about the Holy Spirit. You see, the word pneuma, spirit, is used 140 times in Paul's writings. 17 times he uses the phrase Holy Spirit. And then quite frequently he refers to the Spirit as being from God or of God, his Spirit. 16 times, and 3 times he refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Christ. Let's look at these in turn. So the examples we have here, Romans 5 verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The phrase Holy Spirit appears a couple of times in the Old Testament, Psalm 51 verse 11 and in Isaiah 63 verse 10. Fee tells us that it was picked up by Christians as the full proper name for the Spirit of God. Just as Jesus, Paul uses the words the Lord Jesus Christ as the full name of Jesus. The name and the title blend as one reality. Holy Spirit. Holy. Set apart. Consecrated. In the Old Testament, Yahweh is holy. And anything associated with the temple is holy. You can talk about holy objects. But the Holy Spirit is not an object that can be picked up and moved around. No, the Holy Spirit is spirit, pneuma. And this has a similar range of meanings to the Hebrew ruach, which is found in the Old Testament. It can mean wind, breath, the life inside a person. But in reference to the Holy Spirit, it means a divine being, a person who has personality. We see in Romans 15 and verse 13 the word Holy Spirit, words Holy Spirit being used to describe the Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3 it says this, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So quite a simple point, really, that Paul refers to the Spirit as the Holy Spirit. But Paul also refers to the Spirit as the Spirit of God. God is the one who sends the Spirit. In Galatians 4 verse 6, it says this, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts." Notice here that you've got also, it says the Spirit of his Son. We're going to touch on that in a moment. But here that it's the Spirit is sent by God. And then related to this is that God is the one who gives us the Spirit. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 8, which says this, "Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22 says this, "He's put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." You have God the Father, and he gives of something which is related to him. It's close to him, but it's not him. It's something separate to the Father. And what does he give? He gives the person of the Holy Spirit. This parallels the Old Testament, where the Spirit, and here I think I'm quoting from sort of the Alpha Course, where in the Old Testament the Spirit comes on particular people at particular times for particular tasks. We see this in Numbers chapter 24 verse 2 as an example, or Judges chapter 3 verse 10, and that's in reference to Balaam. And in Othniel, they receive the Spirit at a particular moment for a particular task. And in the book of Joel, it says, the prophet says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." And Paul is now saying, this time has arrived. The Spirit has been poured out now in the covenant community upon all believers. And it doesn't just indwell, the Holy Spirit doesn't just indwell a person at a particular time, but resides in them permanently. But now I just want to sort of reflect on a couple of passages which can be held together. And this gives us a fascinating insight into the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." And here we see that the Spirit is distinct from God, but close to his heart. And here I'm using the word God to refer to the Father. The Spirit is distinct from the Father and is close to his heart. So close that he knows the depths of the Father. Look at verse 10. "For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." The word depths there is the same word which is used in the Old Testament to refer to the depths of the sea or the earth. Psalm 69 verse 3 is an example. And it's as if the Spirit is so close to the Father that he knows stuff which couldn't be known without the Spirit. And then the Spirit comes to those of the household of faith and communicates some of those insights to them. George Montagu, Roman Catholic scholar, he says this in his commentary on 1 Corinthians. "The Titanic lay unseen on the ocean floor for 75 years until searchlights and a television camera lowered to the depths revealed it to the explorers and to the world. In like manner, the Holy Spirit explores and reveals the depths of God to the believer. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Close to the Father, getting to the depths of this unfathomable mystery. And then bringing that to people like me and you. And the Holy Spirit teaches us the wisdom of God. He's almost like the Holy Spirit. He is a divine mailman who goes and gets a message, a messenger. Goes and gets a message from the Father and brings it and communicates it to the church. But related to this is Romans 8, verse 26 to 28. And this is where we see the situation almost reversed. Let's read the passage and I'll explain what I mean. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. In the 1 Corinthians passage we just had, we saw that the Holy Spirit gets to the depths of the Father and then comes in and communicates that to the church. And now we see that the Holy Spirit gets to the depths of individual believers. He sees what other people don't see. He knows our weaknesses and he helps us. Even when we don't know how to pray, we may be in great distress. The Holy Spirit looks into our inner being, sees our cries, and then begins to intercede to the Father with groanings that are too deep for words. We see that the Holy Spirit is a heaven-sent messenger who comes in, who is in our lives and listens to our cries and is aware of our suffering, and then brings these to the Father and intercedes for us. And when he intercedes in a way which it's in line with the Father's wishes and desires, the Father of lights. So brothers and sisters, be encouraged that in your place of suffering, you're indwelt by the Spirit. And this is the Spirit of God who knows our pain and brings those cries to God. And sometimes we struggle with the words, but the Holy Spirit keeps on communicating. So Paul can refer to the Spirit as the Holy Spirit. Paul can also refer to the Spirit as being as the Spirit of God. But also three times in Paul, the Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. Galatians 4 verse 6 says this: God has sent the Spirit of his Son. And Romans 8 verse 9 says this: anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And Philippians 1 verse 19 says this: for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. And here is evidence for Paul's high Christology. For Paul, the Father is Lord of all. But so is Jesus. And we see that in some mysterious sense, the person of the Holy Spirit is intimately connected with God the Father, but also intimately connected with that of Jesus. In some mysterious sense, the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of Jesus with us. And here is a holy mystery, that God is three in one and one in three. And to talk about one member of the Trinity is to almost bring the others with it as well. The Cappadocian fathers of the early church, they refer to the three being together as a dynamic, interconnecting and intermingling unity. And they use the word perichoresis for this, which means mutual indwelling without loss of personal identity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are such a unity, and yet they also do not lose their own identities. And so, we've come to the end of this session, and we've seen that as the fulfillment of the renewed presence of God with his people, the Spirit was understood by Paul in personal terms. And so, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for the personal presence of Jesus. And we are aware that our language can fall short of the holy mystery which is before us. So Lord, we thank you for the Apostle Paul and your Spirit working in him, which gives us insights. We thank you that the Spirit, he is at work, searching and knowing and teaching and dwelling, accomplishing, giving life, crying out, leading us, bearing witness, helping us, strengthening us. And we, Father, we praise you that the Holy Spirit is close to your heart and brings to us wisdom from heaven itself. And Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is close to our hearts and brings our cries and our prayers to you, even when we don't have the words. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.